When you think of the Exodus, who comes to your mind first? I suspect for most all of us, it would be Moses. In Exodus chapter 1, the Exodus doesn't begin with Moses. The Exodus begins with women. In chapter 1, verse 8, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. In verse 15, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh in verse 19, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying in verse 22, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Chapter 2 begins with a man of the house of Levi who takes as a wife a daughter of Levi. In chapter 6, verse 20, we are told that their names are Amram and Jochebed. So the woman Jochebed conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister, who we are later told, her name is Miriam. Moses' sister Miriam, the daughter of Amram and Jochebed, she stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh, the unnamed daughter of Pharaoh, came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens, the unnamed maidens of the unnamed daughter of Pharaoh, walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, this unnamed Egyptian maid had compassion on Moses, the son of Jochebed. And she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. The unnamed maiden, the unnamed Egyptian maiden, went and called Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Drawn Out. She called his name Moses, literally drawn out, saying, because I drew him out of the water. I have always struggled with a gift for Mother's Day. None of us will ever top the gift that Shiphrah and Puah gave to these mothers. None of us will ever top the gift that this unnamed maid of Pharaoh's daughter and Pharaoh's daughter gave to Jochebed. In chapters 1 and 2, when we read about these children, these children needed help. Moses needed help. Mothers, your children need help. From conception to the toddler stage to adolescence to maturity, your children need help. As we continue to think about drawing near to God with a sincere heart, and we continue to read through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, I want to encourage us to draw near to God through lessons that center around mothers and the help that God has called them to give to their children. And so our primary texts this morning are from the books of Exodus and Leviticus, and we will see how each of these things that your children need from you as their mother are reflected in the person and the work of Jesus. Number one, mothers, help your children to fear God above all others. Help your children to fear God above all others. And so the king of Egypt, he spoke, and Shiphrah and Puah, in verse 17, they feared God. The king of Egypt at this time, the Pharaoh, he is a formidable person to deal with. And he has spoken, and what he has spoken is hard, but what he has spoken is not in accordance with the will of the true and living God. In life, we are going to be challenged to fear others. Jesus, as Emmanuel, God in the flesh, he understood this reality of life, this difficult emotion that we face when we come into contact with people who are calling us to think and to speak and to behave in ways that do not glorify the true and living God. And so Jesus would say, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Mothers, help your children to fear God above all others. Number two, help your children to see your obedience to his loving laws. As we continue to read throughout the Torah, the Pentateuch, and we come to the book of Deuteronomy, and as Moses is encouraging these people and their descendants to be faithful to God, he would communicate that every law that God gave them was for their good always. God is love, and his commandments are not burdensome. They are given from a heart of love. He does not always explain in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy why he has given a particular law. He's just called us to obey the laws that he's given. And so when you think about your life and the experiences that you have had and the things that have shaped you and have gotten you to where you are today, I wonder how many of these boys and girls that came into this world as the direct result of Shiphrah and Puah. I wonder how many of those folks named their kids after them. I haven't told Amberly this, but if we have twins, I want to name them Shiphrah and Puah. Folks could see their obedience. And your kids need to see yours. Number three, help your children to trust God to provide. Verse 20. God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that He provided households for them. We don't always know what God is going to do or how He is going to provide. But we know God. And we know that God has promised. And we know that when Jesus stood on the mount and spoke, we know that His words are true. We know that they are trustworthy. We know that they can be believed. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value? Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? I love imagining Jesus on the mount saying these words and just in different directions pointing to these things that are around Him, and we're all listening to His words, and we're looking at the grass that He's pointing to, and as we turn our gaze away from Him to the grass, we hear Him say, "Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, don't worry saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Egyptians seek." The Egyptians were Gentiles. "After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need all these things." Here's what you need to do against the backdrop of these needs. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Mothers, help your children to trust God to provide. Number four, help your children to know your love for them. So, growing up, we trust when our mom and our dad tell us, "I'm your mom and I'm your dad," and we trust that when they tell us, "This is the day you were born," and we trust this is where you were born, and these are the circumstances of your birth, and we know you don't remember any of this, but this is what we were doing with you when you were 3 months old, and so forth and so on. And then over time, as we grow and learn, we begin to cultivate memories of experiences. And all along the way, all of us in our lives are looking back. We're looking back at our lives. And we're looking back at our relationships. And we're looking back at the relationships that we have had with our mothers and with our fathers and with our sisters. And for some of us, looking back is very painful, because all those experiences are not what we see in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. When Moses looked back, what he saw was a mother who loved him. When the text says that she saw he was a beautiful child, that's my experience with my three. That's your experience with your child. There wasn't anything unique about that experience. She looked at Moses and she saw Moses and she saw this beautiful child that was her own, and she wasn't going to allow
a godless person like Pharaoh. Take her son out like that. And because of her love for him, she put her life at risk. You think Moses ever doubted how much his mother loved him? We should never doubt how much Jesus loves us. As Tony read from Romans 5, he demonstrates it to us at the cross. The thing I love about Jesus is that, to echo the words of Acts 1:1, he didn't just teach, but he also did. The things that he taught and did. And so in John 15:13, this is what Jesus said: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then Jesus went and did it. Jochebed communicated through all this that she loved Moses. And all of Moses' life, he would have known this. Mothers, help your children to know that you love them. Help your children to know of your exodus out of sin. When you think of the Exodus, who comes to your mind first? For most all of us, it is Moses. I mean, he is the central figure, but the reality of the Exodus is that it begins with women. And so these women enabled Moses to come into being and God to use him to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. And in Exodus, the 12th chapter, he does just that. He leads them out. And so the shadow of this accident finds its substance in the person of Jesus and in his work of leading us individually out of the bondage of sin. Mothers, the very best thing that you can do for your child is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you accept the invitation of Jesus and you come to Him weary and heavy laden, and you allow Him by His grace to give you rest and to lead you out from the bondage of your own personal sin, then you will glorify God. Because that is the point of His eternal purpose, that we would all find salvation in Christ. But you'll be gifting your children a foundation upon which they can build their lives, so that when the storms of life come, they will be rooted and grounded in the rock that is Christ Jesus. When Moses looked back on his life, he would have heard stories about Shiphrah and Puah and his mother and the faith that they had. What of you? Do you have those memories of your mom? My dad got drafted into the army and spent 2 years in Thailand, and he wasn't faithful during that time. He came home, and my Aunt Janie, his older sister, had been working in this office job, and this young woman from Winfield, Alabama, had moved to Birmingham and got a job in the same office, and Aunt Janie just wouldn't hush until Mary came over, had dinner at my grandparents' house so that she could meet my dad. My mother told my dad, if we're going to be a thing and we're going to get married, there are some things you're going to have to change. There are some things you're going to have to repent of if I'm going to be your wife. The Exodus began with women. My faith began with a woman. Do that for your kids. Be faithful to Jesus. Share your story with them. Encourage them to cultivate and develop a faith of their own. Mothers, help your children to see you following His lead. In chapter 13, they had a cloud by day and a cloud by fire, and when the cloud moved, they moved. And who is this Jesus? He is the one who has called us to deny ourselves on a daily basis and take up our cross and follow Him, Luke 9:23. Jesus didn't just preach sermons. Sometimes I preach sermons and I'm convicted because I'm not very good at practicing them. Jesus practiced what He preached. Your kids need to see you practicing what you preach. They need to see you following His lead. And those who faithfully followed His lead found themselves in the promised land. Those who did not faithfully follow His lead found themselves dead in sin. What we do matters. What we do matters to the glory of God, and what we do matters in our relationships with our kids. Mothers, help your children to see you following His lead. Number 7, help your children to hear you sing to the Lord. In chapter 15, we read that Moses and the children of Israel, everybody was singing the song of Moses. But at the end of chapter 15, we see that Miriam was singing. Do your children ever hear you sing? Singing was an integral part of Jewish life. It was an integral part of Jesus' life. We read about Him singing hymns in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. But in Hebrews, the second chapter, we read about how Jesus sings in the present tense with those of us who are His people. And so when we gather together in Christ on the Lord's Day, He is in our midst and He sings with us. He breaks the bread. He pours the cup. He intercedes when we pray. He is very much a part of our assembly. Do your children hear you sing? We talked about shepherding hearts a number of weeks ago, and one of the most profound experiences in my life was with my grandmother. And my grandmother would never let us help her with the dishes. She would send us all into the living room, which was not out of earshot of the kitchen. And while she did the dishes, from her heart, she would sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I've often thought that while she didn't have the consciousness of what she was doing, that all along she was shepherding my heart. To be able to hear her voice and the voice of my mother singing. You need to do that for your children. There are so many simple songs that we can hide in our hearts and we can sing with them. We can sing to them. Before we had children, we asked a faithful brother, you know, what should we do? And one of the things that he said to us is, you know, get them a Bible with their name on it and put it in the crib. That way they will never remember a time in their life when they didn't have a Bible of their own. And I've thought a lot about that, but I've thought a lot about the fact that I've never not known singing in my life. What a blessing that we can all give to our children. The blessing of hearing our voices praise our God in song, as they did in Exodus 15. And we think about Revelation 15, we're not just singing the song of Moses anymore. We're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. So number 8, mothers, help your children to see you making sacrifices for them. In chapter 25, what are they doing? They're bringing offerings so that they can build the tabernacle. What did Jesus give? He gave all. I mean, He literally gave all. He gave all of Himself. He's the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. He's the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. He's the grain offering. He's the peace offering. And what's He called us to do? He's called us to make sacrifices as well. You know, I talked about when I was born and my dad lost his job and he was working at the Napa Auto Parts and he was eating the same sandwich every day. One of the things that my mother said to me along the way is that no matter how hard times got for our family, my parents never stopped contributing on the first day of the week. If they didn't have money for other things, they still made that offering, they made that sacrifice on the first day of the week. That has encouraged me so many times when I have been tempted to do other things, to trust in other things, to not see how God was going to do this or how God was going to do that. All along, seeing my mother making sacrifices for me and my sister to the glory of God, doing without things so that we might see what's important. Did they always get it right? No. And neither did I, and neither will you. I'll tell you what, we can all get right. We can learn to say to our children, I was wrong, I am sorry. And that is what those burnt offerings and sin offerings and trespass offerings are communicate. I was wrong, I am sorry. And because He was willing to forgive, then we have the grain offering and the peace offering in which we say thank you. Thank you for accepting our sorry. Thank you for accepting our sacrifice by your grace. Mothers, help your children to see you making sacrifices for Him. Number 9, help them to see you worship in spirit and in truth, which was the point of the tabernacle. It would be the place where God's people would gather together with God as one and they would worship Him. And so who is this Jesus? He is the one who comes along in John 4 and talks to us about worship in spirit and in truth. And so drawing near to God, it involves the right form, for sure. That's clearly communicated in Exodus through Deuteronomy. But it also drives the right heart. To worship in spirit is with the right heart, and in truth is in the right form. It is not enough to just come in here and go through the motions of all of the things that the Lord has called us to do on the first day of the week. Your heart needs to be in your contribution. Your heart needs to be in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine. Your heart needs to be in the singing. Your heart needs to be into the listening of God's Word. And I know that's a great challenge because I don't want to listen to me preach either. And I'm not saying to you that you have to take those questions that we send out and write down the answers on your copy of those questions in order to be a faithful member here or pleasing to God. But I can tell you from my experience that seeing my mother's handwriting and my dad's handwriting, the one thing my dad wanted me to have is his version of the
of the
wide margin New King James Bible that I use. He got his after I got mine. He just was always trying to be like me. And so he wanted me to have his copy of it. So that was my takeaway from when we were home. And so I opened it up one day this week to look at his notes on Leviticus, and on page 1 of Leviticus chapter 1, at the top of it, he wrote the word H-O-L-L-Y, Holly. He put too many L's in the word hope. I don't know if y'all have noticed this about me, but I am wont to misspeak at times, or to miswrite at times. But having my mother's handwriting on spiritual things, it's very special to me and to our family. That's something that you can do for your kids. What does that communicate? It communicates your heart in it, is in it, that you think this matters. That despite all the failings of the ones who stand up here and teach, it's not about that. It's not about me. It's not about Clevin, who will speak at the table this morning. It's about God and His Word and His will for our lives. And finally this morning, fathers, help your children to see His holiness in you. Who is this Jesus? He's the Holy One, Acts 3:14. And all of Leviticus is pointing to His person. He was holy in the absolute. He was holy, holy, holy. And His will for us in Him through His Spirit is that we would be holy too. You be holy as I am holy is the theme of Leviticus, but it is also the theme of the New Covenant. It is God's will for us that we would conform to the image of Jesus, His holy image. It is God's will for us, 1 Peter chapter 1, that we would be holy as He is holy. It is God's will for us in Christ Jesus that we would perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Help your children to see His holiness in you. Well, what does that look like? It looks like they know what you're thinking about. And it looks like they hear what you're talking about. And it looks like they see what you're doing. And from your life, they either see that you are focused on the Holy God, or that you are being too influenced by the world and all of the sin and wickedness and uncleanness that is to be found there. None of us is Jesus. That is why He's the name above all names, and He is the preeminent one. But all of us can go about the business on a daily basis of conforming to His image. All of us can grow in His grace and in His knowledge, and all of us can live our lives in such a way that more of Him is seen in our lives. Give that gift to your children. Help your children to see that. On this Mother's Day, as we conclude our thoughts from Exodus and Leviticus and in light of Jesus, we pray for our mothers here at Annandale, and for all the mothers all the world over, that they would come to see Jesus and give their lives to Him. And for our mothers here at Annandale who are striving to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that first and foremost that they would go to Him for help. This Mothers Help Your Children top 10 things that you need to be about the business of helping your children to do and to see and to be, you're going to need some help. And help is available. Amen. Help is available in the person of Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, in the person of our God and Father. His will for us is that we would just come before His throne of grace, and that we would ask in full assurance of faith that we would receive. Let's pray together as we conclude our thoughts this morning. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Your love for those who bear Your image, male and female, created you them. We rejoice, Father, that you have revealed our origin to us. We rejoice, Father, that in Adam and Eve's sin that you love them still, and that you began revealing your eternal purpose, and that in the seed of woman, in our Jesus, we can have victory over sin and death. Father, as we read of all these good examples of these good women who feared you and were obedient to your will, and in so doing they were a blessing to others, we pray that we would live our lives that way as well. That we would understand that the beginning of wisdom is to fear you, and that when all is considered, fearing you and keeping your commandments, that this is the whole. This is the whole of life. And Father, in Jesus, we are so thankful for a Savior that we can see and we can love and we can be obedient to and we can long to conform to, that we can love. We're thankful for the help of your Spirit. We pray that you would continue to comfort us and help us and strengthen our inner man as we go about living our lives to your glory. For our mothers this morning, on this Mother's Day, we pray, Father, that they would draw near with confidence to your throne of grace, that they would receive mercy, and that they would find grace to help in their time of need, and that as they raise their children, that they might be a blessing to them, to the degree that their children might see Christ in them and long for Him to be in them too. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing a song that encourages us to lean upon the Lord, and then we will give our attention to our Jesus in the partaking of His Lord's Supper. Let's stand together as we sing, Leaning on the Everlasting Lord.